Hello, world. My name is Don. With me today is...
Yes, sir. Young Keiko, a.k.a. Mr. Peter Parker. You know it's good.
Peter Parker? What?
Yes, sir. I'm Spider-Man. Talking about?
Oh, ha, because you're into arachnids and all that. Yeah, I get it. Hey, Keiko, good to see you again. And you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, July 17th, 2022. Stop the presses. This is our Sunday show, and that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. With me tonight, once again, was Mr. Keiko. Good to see you again. And thank you at home. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. And as always, if you're with us live, drop a line in the live chat and we might read it off on the air. Now, one little bit of housekeeping before we get rolling with the headlines tonight. A couple weekends ago, we had a new Marvel movie drop, the fourth Thor film, Love and Thunder. You may recall this time last week, I had promoted the podcast, the spoiler cast reaction for that movie because Alonzo and I have both seen it on opening weekend and we have our thoughts recorded on that. It just took literally the whole week to be able to edit it together properly. So I'm pleased to report we actually do have that podcast fully ready to go. I thought I'd be able to get it out before we went live tonight, but I had to sort of pick and choose between doing this on time and getting the podcast out. So we're going to push the Thor Love and Thunder reaction podcast out. After this, you can pick it up basically anywhere you get your podcasts. We're up on Anchor and Apple and Spotify, I think Podbean, a couple other places. But anyway, at Weekend Showcase, just search for us at Weekend Showcase. Wherever you see this green WS icon, chances are that's us. So then we'll be pumping that out once again after this podcast, after this episode is done, which will be at about 7:30 East Coast time tonight. So I guess that's it. Are we ready to roll, Keiko?
Let's get it. You know what I'm saying?
Alrighty. And once again, thanks so much for watching. Hit that like and subscription bell, and let's get rolling. First order of business. Let's see. Skittles contain toxin and are unsafe to eat, lawsuit claims.
Skittles, boy, that's my favorite candy. Not the Skittles. That's my favorite candy, boy. Went to the dollar store and paid 50 cents for these Skittles.
Wow. That sounds like a discount day. especially considering dollar stores are now pretty much all $1.25 at this point. But
right.
Something inflation. Anyway, there's a YouTube video attached to this, or what looks like an embedded video of some kind. Let's see what this has to say. Are we getting a narration here of any kind? I don't think we are. Yeah, we know what Skittles looks like. Wow, it's thanks, New York Post.
Nothing about it.
Thanks, New York Post. That was very helpful. Right. Anyway.
That wasn't even a commercial. Like that. What was that?
Yeah, that was pouring a fresh bowl of Skittles to start your day. That's what that was. I don't know what that is. Anyway, all right. So let's just read the thing. Mars Incorporated has been sued by a consumer who claims that Skittles candies are unfit to eat because they contain a known toxin that the company had pledged 6 years ago to phase out. In a proposed class action filed on Thursday in Oakland, California federal court, Janelle Thames accused Mars of endangering unsuspecting Skittles eaters by using heightened levels of titanium dioxide, or TiO2, as a food additive. The lawsuit also said titanium dioxide will be banned in the European Union next month after a food safety regulator there deemed it unsafe because of genotoxicity, or the ability to change DNA. So Keiko, how much do you love Skittles?
I'm telling you, my favorite candy. I like the sour Skittles. That's my favorite.
Really?
That's my favorite candy. Like somebody asked me, what's your favorite candy? Skittles, sour Skittles, my favorite candy.
Even in spite of, like, does this information change your perspective of the candy at all?
I don't think so, but here's the thing, has anybody died from Skittles?
I guess we need to dig in
further into this. Because I stopped eating the Skittles if people dying off of Skittles, I stopped eating them then, but.
Okay, here we are. In October 2016, it was confirmed that titanium dioxide was among the colorants being removed, according to the nonprofit Center for Food Safety, citing an email from Mars. According to the lawsuit, titanium dioxide is used in paint, adhesives, plastics, and roofing materials, and can cause DNA, brain, and organ damage, as well as lesions in the liver and kidneys.
Listen, we all eat paint.
I never eat paint. I did. You're talking about like when you're a kid, I presume.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, no. In your early 20s, you know what I'm saying? Late teens, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Eat paint. Paint is good. The red paint is best.
Somehow I completely doubt that Skittles would have any of the 8 essential vitamins and minerals one would need to start their day. I highly doubt that. But this case is ongoing in the state of California, and more information on this piece, and as well as all of our other items tonight on the agenda of topics, can be found in the description down below as per usual. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Kaiko. Finish your thought.
No, I didn't cut me off. I was just saying Skittles. I'm gonna eat Skittles until they kill me.
See, I hear you saying that, but given what I just read, that seems like that's a little less potential for raw hyperbole than right. I think you might be intending. So I don't know. This might be a thing that, you know, depending on how this case goes out, depending on how the investigation goes out and, you know, what information winds up further coming to light about this, especially regarding the, I think you said the sour Skittles were your favorite.
Right. Right. Yeah. But see, they said 6 years ago they were going to take the thing out. So that means that perhaps 6 years ago they didn't take it out. So that means it's been in the Skittles for 6 years. And I just had a pack of Skittles yesterday. So what I'm saying is I think we're good.
Well, I hope so. let's move on. Hopefully we'll get something a little bit less traumatizing. American tourist miraculously survives fall into Mount Vesuvius. Well, that was fast. So much for it less traumatizing. Philip Carroll was taking a precarious selfie when he dropped his phone and fell into the volcano crater trying to retrieve it. Oh my God. All right. This was posted on July 12th. Oh man. All right. A 23-year-old tourist from Maryland survived a fall into Mount Vesuvius in Campania, Italy on Saturday. The incident occurred after Philip Carroll and two of his relatives wandered off trail for a chance to take better photos. That's a touristy thing to do. Paolo Capelli, president of the Presidio Permanente Vesuvio, based on the summit of the 4,000-foot volcano, told NBC News they forged ahead despite warnings. Capelli says, quote, "This family took another trail, closed to tourists, even if there was a small gate and no access signs," end quote. On top of neglecting to follow guidelines and scale the volcano with proper safety precautions, Carroll and his relatives didn't even pay for tickets, which are required to limit the number of hikers on the trail. They took a prohibited path after departing the nearby town of Ottaviano. When they got to the top, Carroll tried taking a selfie and dropped his phone into the crater. Capelli said, quote, "He tried to recover it, but slipped and slid a few meters into the crater. He managed to stop his fall, but at that point he was stuck. He was very lucky. If he kept going, he would have plunged 300 meters into the crater." End quote. Kaiko, your reaction.
His phone was more important to him. Why would you drop your phone off a cliff? You want to jump after it? What's wrong with this man?
I mean, this is an unfortunate, sad story, sort of all along the lines of, I guess, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember if it was a meme or like an SNL sketch that was basically making fun of the lengths to which we will go to preserve and protect our phones, because so much of our lives are inherently stored on our phones and only pretty much accessible either with our phones themselves or with the assistance of our phones, either through like text message authentication or two-factor authentication or stuff like that. You know, you need your phone to live in 2022, basically, in some form or another.
And our phone is an iCloud, so.
Yeah, which is its own level of dangerous, really. But
well, I'm saying, but if I lose the phone, like I can get another phone. I have my stuff.
But see, a thing to sort of have in mind is like the toilet test. If whatever you're talking about fell into the toilet,
yeah,
you know, would you fish it out and try to use it again?
I'll fish it out the toilet, yeah, because you know I'm trying to save it. You know what I'm saying? But I know I'm not gonna die. You know, fishing it out the toilet. This guy dropped off a mountain.
Like wash your hands and put that puppy under a strong ultraviolet light or whatever you got to do. Like,
I'm
you know.
To tell you. So now what
and are a pile the, of rice.
what are the ecosystem requirements for a volcano to be present? because I didn't know volcanoes were in Europe. I guess they're everywhere. I don't know. I thought there was like a specific like climate ecosystem regulation that had to be prevalent for a volcano to exist. But
there might be. I'm not a geologist. If anybody who's watching on YouTube, or we're also streaming live on Instagram at Weekend Showcase, feel free to drop a comment if you want to do some quick Googling right. for us and like drop some facts in there. We're happy to read them off. But we have to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's something they teach you in school. Like I've never heard, hey, you know, volcanoes are only in tropical regions. Like nobody ever said nothing like that. So I don't know. So yeah, somebody please tell me.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out in the comments feed for more. Right. Let's move on to the next topic. This all next right. one is from National Public Radio, posted on July 11. A distillery is fighting invasive crabs by turning them into whiskey.
Wow, great. Love it. I would buy it.
Really? You would buy, would you actually drink alcohol that was sort of like fermented with the help of like crabs?
Yeah, that's listen, I always say.
So no allergy to shellfish is what I'm hearing. Right. From you.
You know, listen. You know, you eating some soup, you eating some Cheerios. You know what I'm saying? Some ant crawl on the table, and an ant crawl into your bowl. Listen, I'm gonna kill you, and I'm gonna eat you with my cereal. Why are you invading my food? So I'm gonna eat you. You know what I'm saying? Not gonna taste like nothing. Not gonna change the taste of my Fruit Loops.
Sure. Why don't you garnish it with some Skittles while you're at it at that point?
There you go. So, but yeah, I mean, so these crabs, I'm saying the word invasive tells you that these crabs was not supposed to be there.
Well, so, let's take a look here. I guess these are the crabs in question that they're talking about here. This is a green crab caught off the coast of New Hampshire, according to the context of the picture here. Let's see. They're small, they're green, they're crustaceans, and now they're in whiskey. Again, this is published in National Public Radio. Green crabs are the invasive pests that have plagued North America's marine ecosystems for more than 200 years. A New Hampshire distillery is taking on the problem by using them to make green crab-flavored whiskey. Green crabs are so abundant that it's going to take a lot more than whiskey to curb the population, but some hope bringing awareness to the issue will lead to creative solutions. Tamworth Distilling's Crab Trapper Whiskey gets some of its flavor from green crabs caught off the coast of New Hampshire. The crabs hitched a ride to the United States on ships coming from Europe around the 1800s. Here they eat tons of shellfish and destroy estuaries and fish habitats. Well, hey, it could have been a lot worse. Like they could have come bringing like the plague or something, although I'm pretty sure those are rats, I guess. I think that's right. It was rats were used to carry the black plague. Back yeah. in those times. I may have the time period wrong, 1800s, but that was a very big deal a long, long time ago in that part of the world. Kaiko, any additional thoughts on this?
Like I said, I mean, you know, let's put this in the liquor store down the street from me so I can try some crab whiskey. Crab whiskey.
You're dead serious.
Crab whiskey. I'll do a commercial for them. Crab whiskey, you know, like this is
you look like
is...
you're doing a Mentos commercial from the 90s. Like crab whiskey, the crab maker. Like yeah, what
that's I think you know listen I think it'd be a nice sit down and have a drink with somebody type of occasion. You know, I got some crab whiskey. What are you? There's some real crabs and the whiskey. They say okay, you know,
help control the green crab population. Have your crabs turned into whiskey.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You know.
Next time on Price is Right. Will Robinson, the product developer at Tamworth Distilling, who had the idea for the project, said the crabs were cleaned and prepared just like any other crab you might order at a restaurant. Well, that's good, at least. All right, cool. So I guess that's it for that particular topic. This is above my pay grade. I will barely personally drink like two beers a year. You know, I'm well into my 30s at that point. That's like, but go ahead.
Nah, I didn't say nothing. I'm listening to you.
Oh.
But, you know, I partake in some beer. Got me a little belly. Partake in some, you know what I'm saying? Got me a little belly. Need to get that down. Need to start running on a treadmill. But you know what I'm saying?
That's your next endorsement.
You know, so
yeah, this is Kaiko Kaiji for WW. But well, the organization formerly known as Weight Watchers. I don't know if you're aware of this. They rebranded, I think, last year. They're not Weight Watchers anymore. They're WW. They basically borrowed a page from MTV or KFC or whatever. They're not what the acronym means anymore. They're literally the acronym. That's their whole brand now. If you can believe that.
I just need to put the beer down and give me some crab whiskey.
Noted. Anyway, what do you guys think at home? Those of you who are watching this live on YouTube or Instagram at Weekend Showcase, feel free to drop a comment in the live chat and we might read it off in the description, in the course of this video. I almost said in the description. How are we going to read off something that's put into the description by the audience? I don't know. That was, how now, brown cow? Try to, should have done vocal exercises before we started. Anyway.
Hey, everyone, come see how good I look.
Hashtag Anchorman. All right, let's move on. CNET, I am not familiar with this logo. When did they do this logo change up here? What is this? That's not the CNET logo.
This is, you're on the dark web right now. That's what's happening.
Highly doubt that. This is CNET.com right now. Maybe this is a different CNET than what I'm thinking of. But anyway, all right, whatever.
This is a shop that you buy online narcotics on the dark web.
Let me stop talking about that, please. Good grief. All right. NASA Mars rover spots spaghetti-like object.
Okay. Spaghetti-like object.
Yeah, that's this thing.
Listen, that ain't nothing but a tumbleweed.
On Mars?
On Mars. What, Mars got plants, plantation, plant vegetation, plant veggies. They got tumbleweed.
But like with what breeze? Like what that, would that, need like boy, wind that, to sort of generate?
That is the first picture of a Mars plant.
Okay.
It's a plant from, listen, we ain't seen it on Earth. It's a plant from Mars. It's a new plant. Hey man, we just dropped a new plant. Like that's what it is.
is this what would you do? I want to do this. No, I'm not gonna say that joke. I was just going to basically say something like what might the possible applications of this be if this really was a Martian plant? You know what I mean? I'm just, at first glance, I'm thinking like medicinally, but then obviously there is a subset of people that might sort of look at something like that and think not medicinally, but recreationally. If you know what I mean when I say recreationally, you know?
Right, right. But no, but listen, in Grenada, you know, we have a lot of roots that you make tea with for different things, cleansing, you know, medicinal purposes. And mm-hmm. It's a little like a root. So when you say medicinal, this could very much be some medicinal product. Or it's just some spaghetti.
Martian spaghetti. Would you eat Martian spaghetti?
I would love to eat some Martian spaghetti. Listen, I would love to eat any food that any alien give me, even if it's moving.
But would you, even if it's moving? Wait a minute. Wait, let's double down on this. How far would you go in that thought process, Kaiko? Like if you had the opportunity to volunteer to be the first human being to sample Martian food with zero baseline or frame of reference as to how that cuisine would interact with human physiology, would you roll the dice?
I would roll the dice, but I'd just be like, how do you eat it? Like, let me know how to eat. Don't have me looking like an idiot eating it. Like if I'm supposed to eat it with a chimbalon, you know, because that's the utensil that they use, a chimbalon, right?
So what did you say?
A chimbalon. So I'm saying if I gotta eat it with a chimbalon, yeah, man. So that's what they use on Mars. That's like their fork on Mars. So I'm saying they tell me that.
Are you inventing that term? I've never heard that.
Maybe I could. I think that they just told me that.
Can you spell that?
A chimbalon. So it's CHIMBALON. A chimbalon. So
wow.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'll write it down. Because that's what it is on Mars.
Yeah, write that down before you forget it.
I did, and so what I'm saying is, if they tell me that that's how you're supposed to eat it, then let me know that that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to get a chimbalon and eat this spaghetti. You see what I'm saying? Don't sit here you know, I'm eating with my hands. They're like, boy, look at him not using the Jambalaya. You know what I'm saying? Like that's
hey, I'm sure the Martians would be would very much enjoy being treated to dinner and a show. Worst case scenario. So there you go.
Come on,
It's worth noting the caption underneath this image on the original page on CNET. It says this tangled mess of something is likely debris left over from Perseverance's arrival on Mars. So we left that there.
That is a piece of lint.
That doesn't look like lint to me.
Come on. So listen, this picture is so magnified that we are seeing the atomical structure of lint on Mars.
Sure. And these are alien paramecium or something next to it? Listen, is that what that is?
There's no reason to correct me. There's no reason to tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know for sure either. It's just, I don't know. I'm just seeing where this goes. All right. So let's see. This image comes from one of the rover's front-facing hazard avoidance cameras that keep an eye on the landscape to protect Percy when it's driving or using its robotic arm. Perseverance caught sight of its landing equipment leftovers from near and far. The rover's arrival on Mars in February 2021 was quite a dramatic event. The descent stage safely delivered the wheeled laboratory to the surface and then skedaddled away to crash at a distance. Percy caught sight of the crash, and you can see how bits and bobs of gear might have gotten spread across a wide array of the landscape. So there you go. The story's author says, I've dropped a line to NASA to see if we can get a more definitive idea on the pasta-esque object. And that looks like that's where the story ends. So I guess presumably at time of posting, she never heard back from NASA, I guess, in time. So there's that.
Forbidden pasta is what it says. That's the headline. That's what should have been the headline.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. All right, let's move on. Once again, we're covering weird news tonight live on Weekend Showcase. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. And as always, if you're with us live, feel free to drop a line in the live chat and I might read off your reactions as well on the air. Next item is from the Mirror, which I guess needs a refresh. Come on.
This guy looked like he's taking a picture with a bag of chips.
Nope, flushable toilet wipes.
Uh-oh, well, he's still taking a picture with it. That's the device he's using to take a selfie.
Yep, those are flushable toilet wipes right there. Kind of also, as anti-paper potato chips as you can get right there, basically.
Right.
I don't think there's anything else on top there. All right. Man in burning pain after mistakenly using Tesco toilet wipes as toilet paper roll for days. What? A man has urged Tesco to change the packaging on its toilet cleaning wipes after he mistakenly used them as loo. I guess that's if I remember right, that's the French word for toilet.
French. I mean, it's the European word for toilet. You okay. Skip to your loo. When you skip to your loo, that means you happily go into the bathroom. Come on.
That sounds like you're making a joke right there.
No, man. Listen, it's like 48% because the rest of it, I'm like dead serious. So you skip to your loo. I skip to my loo. I gotta go to the bathroom, and I'm happy about it.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway. Let's see. Tesco has been called upon to change the packaging of their flushable toilet cleaner wipes after a man mistakenly mistook them for regular toilet paper wipes. Leon Gleed wrongly used the antibacterial wipes in his bathroom for days and soon developed a soreness around his rear end that he describes as a, quote, burning pain, end quote. Enjoy your dinner, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy your dinner.
Right. Like, why? Is he okay with this making news? I bet this is a situation about his rear end. You telling me that he wanted people to? He got his face on the. He took a selfie with a bag of chips. Is what I'm saying. So why are you okay? Why is he okay?
Oh my goodness! All right, the 29-year-old lorry driver says his girlfriend purchased Tesco's active flushable toilet wipes from a Tesco Express store in Rica, South Wales, last month. She then placed them near the toilet so they were in a handy location to clean the loo, which is where Leon made the error. A few days and multiple trips to the toilet later, he had developed a nasty rash.
You see, it's a selfie. How you do that? Look, go up. You see it's a selfie. He's using the wipes as a camera.
Pretty sure that's just posing in front of a mountain.
And somebody's taking the pictures. Are you trying to debunk me? Is that what you're doing? You debunking me on live?
I mean, not deliberately. I'm just like,
you took my story and you said, let me debunk.
It's me. Funny, but it's like only until you really sort of like, never mind. All right. Ms. D says, Lou equals British for bathroom. Okay, British, not French. So what's the French word? If I'm remembering that wrong, what's the French word for bathroom or toilet? If loo is for the British,
I said it was European, so I think it's like a universal Europe word. So you know,
I don't know. Interesting. Anyway, moving on. Let's see. Let's see. So Leon says, although it was a silly mistake to make, he believes cleaning products should be labeled more clearly to avoid any risk of confusion. He said, quote, I thought the product was wet wipes you used to go to the toilet with, but as it turned out, that wasn't the case. When I developed the soreness, I knew something wasn't quite right. When I checked the packaging, it says kills 99% of bacteria. Sadie said,
I'm confused. I'm sorry. I'm confused though, because what did he wipe with? Did he wipe with the antibacterial? Yes. They're confusing me. So what did he think it was?
Just regular toilet paper. Or I guess that you could just like pull out like that.
So he picked up wipes that was wet and said, this is regular toilet paper.
Or I guess, you know, wipes that are not treated with like an antibacterial chemical that can cause a reaction.
But I'm saying it was wet though. I'm saying who wipe with wet wipes? I mean, any wet wipe, you know what I'm saying? Why do you go for a wet wipe to you know what I'm saying? I don't know, you can wet the piece of toilet paper, but that's you doing it. The toilet paper didn't come pre-wet.
Well, people do that. Yeah? It's just a problem of like making sure that it's properly labeled because there's no indication that there's an extra chemical on there that might be topically damaging. So
listen, this story sounds like he should have kept this to himself.
Yeah, this sort of leads one to wonder how in the world did the mirror actually stumble onto this story?
Yeah.
The person didn't actually just sort of like, hey guys, you'll never guess what happened to me last week. I mean,
oh man. Is the mirror a European?
Yes, it's mirror.co.uk.
Yeah, okay.
So it's anybody's guess how that wound up working out, but anyway.
A loo roll. I'm going to start calling it that. Like, on God, I'm going to start calling it a loo roll.
I think that sounds really close to that R&B singer from the 60s or 70s, Lou Rawls.
Yeah.
Refined, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like a little too similar there. Ms. D says... He must have thought they were wet wipes for his bum, British for butt, but they were cleaning wipes for the toilet. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, no, I understand that people use wipes for their bum, but I'm saying to wipe after you're done. Like, why do you, don't you wipe dry after you're done? I would think. I guess.
To each their own, question mark?
To each their own. You're right. No, you're right.
I don't know. I'm not him. I don't know.
You're right. That's why I say why this man put this on news, because we know too much about his life now.
Whatever. Anyway, let's move on. We're a little bit over the halfway point right now. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in to Weekend Showcase live on Instagram at Weekend Showcase, as well as right here on YouTube. We have about 5 more topics left to go, and then we're going to go ahead and shut this puppy down for the week. Next topic is from Ripley's. Let's see. For 30 years, Garfield phones appeared on French beaches without explanation. Hundreds of pieces of cartoon cats continue to wash up on Brittany's beaches each year. Is that a place or a person?
So a boat full of these things.
That's a place.
Crashed.
Wow. So due to a shipping error.
Right.
Due to an overseas shipping error, basically the crew had to fend for themselves on an island with, Skipper and the millionaire and his wife and Ginger and Marianne or whatever. And then the actual, what they were carrying on the freight liner or whatever winds up getting washed ashore, and it just happened to be all of these phones. There's probably going to be another. Where is it? No,
nope, that would be a whole bunch of Garfield phones. That's.
I was expecting another picture there. That can't be the only one. But anyway, so here we go. Garfield, the lovable and lazy orange cartoon cat, remains pop. Hang on a second. Where is it? Okay. We should add a hearty round of bonjours to the mix, because for 30 years, hundreds of Garfield-shaped phones washed ashore in France without explanation. After thorough investigations into the lasagna-loving feline and how his phones ended up in the ocean off the coast of northwestern France, the mystery was eventually solved, but the answer wasn't to everyone's liking. The Garfield mystery began in the midnight... Well, first of all, Keiko, do you have any theories?
Theories of how this phone got washed up on the beach?
Yeah.
The boat crashed, and there was many people who did not survive that fatal explosion, and the whole bunch of, yeah, all these phones is cursed. I'm telling you, all these phones is cursed. You call on one of these phones, and each person that unfortunately did not survive that explosion will answer the phone.
I hope Jason Blum isn't seeing this video. That sounds like a horror movie pitch you just made right there.
And you said, "What is my theory?" That's a theory right there, boy. I tell you what, that's a conspiracy right there, boy. And it made me a conspiracy.
Not gonna lie, it kind of does. But anyway, let's keep going. The Garfield mystery began in the mid-1980s when the bright orange plastic parts of a phone were discovered in a crevice on the Brittany coast, according to the Washington Post. This ushered in decades of similar finds, from his smug face to his corpulent body, his lazy bulging eyes to dial pads and curly wires. While there's something oddly fitting about the indolent feel, hang on a second. Yeah, that kind of trails off there. And now it's going into the history of the device itself, which we don't need. Where's this resolution? Okay, fast forward to 2019, and we finally have some answers, and none of them can be blamed on Odie, ha ha ha. Although the Garfield phones first appeared in 1980s, remarkably, their presence has remained steady ever since. More than 200 Garfield phone pieces littered northwestern France's beaches in 2018 alone. Farmer René Morvan led Simonine Lemur to a seaside cave located among the cliffs of Brittany. There, Morvan revealed that decades ago, he and his brother found a metal shipping container inside, and it was filled with Garfield phones. Unfortunately, volunteers were unable to reach the container immediately after this revelation. It was located so deeply in the cave that visiting the location required the perfect timing. Oh, what? Because of like the tide coming in and making it difficult to get there without oxygen assistance?
Right.
Yeah. But when the tide finally changed, making the big reveal possible, the shipping container was empty. I see. So this anticlimactic event left little to celebrate. As Simonine Lemur explains, the bulk of the phones are, quote, the bulk of the phones are already gone. The sea has done its job for 30 years. We arrived after the battle, end quote. This change in circumstances has forced Simonine Lemur to think out of the box. She soon discovered a potential silver lining. Instead of attempting to find and eradicate the source of the phones, she's now using the appearance of the Garfield memorabilia to raise public awareness about ocean pollution. In a sense, Garfield has become the poster child for plastic pollution. Did not know that. Well, when you sort of put it in the context of this news piece, that makes sense. Keiko, I'm sure you know full well, and those of you watching at home, I'm sure you're aware of there's this big, massive, almost like continent-sized mound of unrecyclable, or at least semi-recyclable plastic off the Pacific coast. That's like
Right. Basically
all the litter that made it to its ocean, that made it into the ocean over the decades, basically ocean currents and tides or whatever sort of like compiled everything together into this big massive mass that no country will accept because it's just pure trash. And like, we can't really process it effectively. So what are we supposed to do with that as a species, as, you know, the creators of this ecological disaster area?
Right.
I mean, Keiko, final thoughts on this topic?
We have to nuke it. No, but
no. I don't think that's a good idea to say. But go ahead.
But I need to pick me up a Garfield phone at the end of the day and make a call and see if I can talk to one of these people from that boat.
You mean the cursed phone that you were talking about earlier? Exactly. You're still anticipating that? Like something horrible happens in 7 days or whatever?
Right, exactly. In 7 days, I got, you know, you call in 7 days, something will happen because
Wow.
Careful, Cthulhu's not on the other line.
Probably on the boat, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Last grade. Yeah. Never mind. All right, let's move on. We have four topics left. Let's see. This is from UPI. Rare orange lobster found in shipment at Florida Red Lobster. We should have followed the crab beer topic with this one. I feel like we should have followed that up with this immediately. Placement of that. Anyway, right. This is posted on July 14. An extremely rare orange lobster was spared the dinner plate at a Red Lobster restaurant in Florida and will have a new permanent home and aquarium. Ripley's Aquarium, Ripley's naturally, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, said it was contacted by managers at the Red Lobster in Hollywood, Florida, after workers discovered the orange lobster in a shipment. The lobster's orange coloring is believed to be from a mutation that occurs only in 1 out of 30 million lobsters. The unusual crustacean was named Cheddar in honor of Red Lobster's Cheddar Bay biscuits. Okay. So, you ever eat lobster, Keiko?
I love them Cheddar biscuits.
Lobster, not the biscuits.
Yeah, but I like them Cheddar biscuits. Yeah, no, listen, I don't think I've ever had like a straight up lobster tail, because is that all you eat? Is it? No, you eat the claws too, but you don't eat the body. You eat the tail and the claws, right?
Those of you at home on YouTube, feel free to drop a line in the comments on that. I don't eat lobster. So,
okay, so
I've the most had seafood I'll eat is like shrimp, but go ahead.
Right. No, I had lobster pizza at Red Lobster. So it was pieces of, but that's a busting pizza right there, boy. That's pizza. That's a real piece of pizza. Lobster on a pizza.
Are you saying you really do that?
That's at Red Lobsters.
I've never heard of that. Why have I not heard of that?
Yeah, no, go to Red Lobster and order the lobster pizza. That's some good stuff. I always get that. And I've only been at Red Lobster like twice. And I think that's what I got both times. So I've never had like a real piece of lobster to say, you know, like I don't eat shellfish. Like I don't eat crabs and stuff like that. I don't know. I just don't like breaking stuff open to eat it.
Just this too much effort.
It's too much.
Above
it's
too beyond.
That's all it is. I just like if I could order a crab and the crab meat is on the plate, then we're good. But you give me the crab. I feel bad busting open this crab. I know you're dead already.
Exactly. You can't. What do you look at that face? Yeah. Look at that face, man.
I'm trying to tell you. Listen, I don't like crayfish because, like, I don't.
It's a face only a mollusk could love.
Right. That's what crayfish look like. That's a bigger crayfish. That look worse. I wouldn't want to cut them up with my hands and eat them. That's terrible. No, but you get the claws, you bust open, and you crack open the claws with a nutcracker, or you get the tail. The tail is the part. That's an expensive part, the tail.
Yeah. Yeah. Brain Spaz on YouTube says, lucky little guy gets to live out his life while all his buddies bit the dust.
But listen, he looked like a regular lobster.
Yeah, but it's just the coloring. That's apparently.
I know. That's what I'm saying. A red and orange is like, I don't know. He's just a lighter shade. I wouldn't have looked at him and been like, oh, orange lobster. Like, this is a rare phenomenon. I would have just been like, yeah, this one looked a little lighter than the rest of them. That's all I would have said.
I feel like this needs a side-by-side comparison photo with a regular lobster.
I think so. I think they need to, because I'm saying, I don't think I understand the greatness, the magnitude of the greatness of this orange lobster. This is an Instagram video of it.
Comparison there somewhere, right. But I guess that's all that was. Yeah. Oh well. But all right. Last words on this, and then we gotta go.
What is the job that those two men in those purple shirts like signed up for?
Apparently, like, lobster wrangler.
We're the men that are gonna go pick up any special lobster that we're told about. That's what they went to school for.
Somehow I doubt that was part of the actual curriculum or whatever, you know, like Ripley like, Academy or whatever.
Like, because what I'm saying, and when they actually this lobster went to Ripley's museum, which is like a, you know, it's just like a big museum. So I'm saying these guys represent, they're in a good position. How did they get this position? What did they have to do in life to get to the position to pick up that lobster? I want to know.
You sound jealous almost. I'm not able to handle these lobsters.
I'm not jealous. I just want to know how I could also be a guy that picks up lobsters. They get paid for this. You know what I'm saying?
If you spend lots of time at the beach, keep your eyes peeled for lobsters, you know, keep practicing your art of wrangling lobsters, right? And capturing them for aquariums and stuff like that. Listen, maybe someday you too can work for Ripley's. How about that?
That's all I'm trying to say. But, you know,
Dream big.
I need to know. Yeah.
Anyway. So let's move on. We have two topics left here. Oh, Ms. D says, yeah, I don't eat them anymore because of that. What, because of the mutation? Oh, wait. Hang on. Dropping lobsters. Brain Spaz on YouTube says, I hate the thought of dropping lobsters alive into boiling water. Crabs too. Oh yeah, and Ms. D says in response to that, I don't need them anymore because of that. Yeah, I guess, yeah, the idea of basically literally boiling something alive. There's a humaneness element to choosing that as part of your dinner or whatever your meal or special.
Listen, God put the thing on the planet for us to eat.
So God, that's kind
and
of
God made it that way.
There's an argument that can be made in a different sort of in a different content place. because we're trying not to like make religious statements. But
yeah, so scratch that. I say from a tribal standpoint. I'm from the Taino tribe, so you know I got a lot of tribal customs and tribal customs based.
I'm sorry, what tribe? I'm sorry, hold on. What tribe?
Taino tribe.
Taino. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, and a universal tribal custom is to use every part of the animal. You see what I'm saying? The animal was given to us for resource. That's a, you know, and so like I said, forget, you know, faith or whatever. This is earth. This is earth custom. You know what I'm saying? This is we have to use. We were given animals for resource. So I say that every animal, you know, was given to us for some type of nourishment or some type of tool, you know? And if okay, let's just say Earth gave us the lobster. Earth made it, that you gotta boil these things, and that's how they taste good. You know, so I'm listening to Earth. I'ma boil these lobsters.
I mean, if you're gonna go practicing, like getting like getting, you know, capturing them for like aquariums and stuff like that, and not for human consumption, you know, you're right. Going to need proper bait for these lobsters, you know, from the ocean. I recommend a $5 bill?
Exactly, because yeah, these things, like I said, the tail will run you by $80. Nah, I'm lying. I don't know. It's expensive though. Tail's expensive, but I'm saying I was hoping
for a different reaction there with like the SpongeBob reference there, but all right, that's fine.
Is that how they got Larry? With the $5?
No, I was actually talking about Mr. Krabs there.
Oh, okay, right.
But I know like crab, lobster, I know it's not the same. I don't know, it's just where my brain kind of was, listen. That's all. Like, look, it's Sunday night, it's been a long weekend, all right? Like, I'm here trying to deliver quality entertainment. Hit or miss. Anyway, moving on. Moving on. We have three topics left and then we'll go ahead and shut this thing down. This next one is from UPI. And once again, the comments feed are all open for y'all to be able to shoot us a message in the live chat for us to read off on the air like we've been getting from Ms. D and Brain Spaz. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it. And don't forget to smash that like button and the subscription button and the notification bell as well before you leave the show. Let's move on to this thing from UPI published on 2 days ago, Friday. Wisconsin man suctions 10 cans to his head for Guinness World Record. That's a record, I guess. Jamie Keaton, aka Canhead, or Canpa to his grandchildren. Oh my goodness. originally set the record for most drink cans placed on his head using air suction in 2016, when he affixed 8 cans to his head and had them remain in place for at least 5 seconds. Keaton's record was broken by a Japanese man who stuck 9 cans to his head in 2019, leading Keaton to recapture the title this year with 10 cans. Keaton, who turned this ability to stick objects to his head into a lucrative career, how? attributed his unusual skill to a medical condition. I actually have a skin condition that's not named yet, where my skin pores literally suck in oxygen. What?
So he uses
this. Sounds like an X-Men ability. What was
right? I'm saying he uses this ability to stick cans on his face.
As anyone would. Okay. The condition God. Has caused objects to stick to his skin since he was a child, but Keaton said he didn't realize the extent of his abilities until he shaved his head for the first time and went to a ball game. he says, quote, I was trying to cool my head down. I dried it off first, grabbed a can of pop, and just started cooling my head down, he said. As I was doing that, they hit a home run, and I went up to grab it and missed, and then I was like, where's my drink? It was stuck to the back of my head.
That's funny though. That's like wow. imagine your can of Coke is on the back of your head. That don't make sense. I ain't never like.
Well, if you're sweating a lot, you know, all yeah. around like your neck and like that sort of thing, like you're gonna use like a cold can of soda at a ball game.
Right. Like so put it in and then it just stuck. That's crazy.
But like if you take, I'm just use this water bottle. If you have like that thing, like I guess that this is what it's this. Is what
right. talking about, that's what I'm saying. So, that's very odd. Yeah. It's a very odd situation there.
I don't know. That's weird. That is weird news. And let's see. I'm trying to figure out where is the. It doesn't say whether or not he actually got the record back.
I don't like that. This is a record.
Well,
I'm very upset that this is a record.
At least he says, "quote I now have made it into a business. I market for people's companies and go to events where they pay me anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 a weekend, all because of this condition. I got to meet so many celebrities, and that's what's really funny, is they actually come up to me and ask me for photos. They know me before I see them," end quote. From being able to stick soda cans to...
Yeah, that's a slap in the face for a lot of people.
I mean, Ms. D would agree with that. Record for dumbest thing you can do, but did you say lucrative career? I guess it's not so dumb, SMH. There you go.
I'll shake my head too. Well, I'm shaking my head. I won't badger him, but I'm shaking my head.
Fair enough. I mean, hey, don't bash it if you right. or until you try it, right. I guess, or
exactly.
something like that.
You can't try it. You have to have this condition.
Or... Yeah, you have to have the mutation. Yeah, but then he would right. need a. But then he would need a name, I guess. What would be the name for this condition? He said that there's no name for this condition yet. Like what?
I could come up with a couple. Thing? I could come up with about 100 of them that don't need to be said on live.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that might be. All right. Well, all right. From an X-Men perspective, I'm just gonna go ahead and pitch this idea out there. Really basic, really straightforward. Can man.
Hey, and listen, that's probably the number one. That's probably the top one. I wouldn't have came up with that. I wasn't thinking about that. There you go. That's it right there. Somebody put that on the screen. That should have just popped up on the screen. Can man.
Yeah, that's if there was a Family Feud survey, Steve Harvey would go like survey says, and there's like the number one answer people would be in there.
So I think what you need to do is make this the thumbnail and put Can Man on there.
We'll have to pitch that by Alonzo. We'll see what we can do with that. But all I know is that if he had a rogues gallery of bad guys to stop and they were trying to like be pessimistic and discouraging or whatever, he would only have one response. Yes, I can. Yeah, I said that just now. Anyway, moving on. We have two more to go. We have two more topics to go. Diamond ring earns Guinness World Record with 24,679 diamonds. This was posted on UPI about 2 days ago. where is the rest of this topic? Here we go. An Indian jewelry company earned a Guinness World Record when it set a staggering 24,679 diamonds in a single ring. Guinness announced SWA Diamonds earned the record for the large ring, which was dubbed AMI, A-M-I, which is Sanskrit for immortality. Where's the photograph? Do we not have a picture of this? I guess we don't have a picture of this on here. I guess it probably doesn't really load right on here properly. All right, let me just go ahead and go back into the Slack page. I know I can pull it up that way through the thumbnail because I actually want to show what this looks like. But at first glance of this story, Kaiko, what's your reaction?
Wait, it's a gem that's called this?
It's a diamond.
It's a diamond. It's a
diamond ring. Here it is. Look at this.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. This is this is 25,000 really super small diamonds forged together into one ring. I've heard of diamond rings before, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's crazy. Amazing.
Listen, but that's
it looks like probably, coral on the top of it, honestly.
Right. Is that the most expensive ring in the world? Is that the most expensive piece of jewelry in the world?
Either that or that weird thing that was sort of surgically implanted into Kodak Black's forehead.
Uzi. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that mixed up.
Somebody snatched that out of his head.
What?
He was crowd surfing and I don't know.
Oh, I heard about that.
I don't know if they took it all the way out or like if they just like pulled it out because he was bleeding. And
he said
if he pulled it out, he gonna die. I was like, this man, the choices you made right now. You spent $24 million. You're on a payment plan.
That's making my head hurt just thinking about that on more than one level. That's making my head hurt.
Like, you know, because what happens is, you know, I want to get a little ruby inside of my spider, right? And what they're gonna do is they're gonna slit it open and they're gonna stick it in the slit. Yeah, and then they glue it, and then they glue it. So, and then it's permanent, you know, you can't pull it out, you know, a little thing. So that's the same thing they did with his head now. I don't think that's going to hurt. That's not going to, because this didn't hurt. So I don't think the little ruby going to hurt, but they sliced his forehead open. You know what I'm saying? And stuck it in. And then when he made the video.
Okay, let's stop here. Let's stop but here. Look, with the vivid
it wasn't stuck. It was shaking when he was showing it to people. It wasn't like stuck on his head. So it was loose.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Let's move on. The design of the ring was based on the pink oyster mushroom. The mushroom represents immortality and longevity, according to the managing director at SWA Diamonds. The natural diamonds set in the ring were certified as conflict-free by Kimberly Process Certification Scheme. Okay, so there's one piece of positivity there. The ring, which weighs in at about 12 ounces, was valued by SWA Diamonds at $95,243. What was the one in Uzi's head worth again?
At 24, they said 24 million. So 95,000. Yeah,
drop in the
bucket. That's what I'm saying. So listen, Lil Uzi had a pink diamond. I think there's another name for it. This is a different
Pink
type
Panther.
Of diamond. Yeah, right. Exactly. This is it might as well have been because this is a different type of diamond that he had. This is like the rarest diamond in the world or something. I don't know. That's why. But this ring is only $95,000.
Yep, that's right. This ring that I had just shown a moment ago on screen, but I guess I have to go ahead and pull it up again from scratch. Darn it.
Because you're saying the whole thing is just the whole ring is diamonds.
Yes.
And it's only 95,000. Like, I feel like I could make that.
Oh, really?
Easily.
Yep, there it is again. There it is. So, yeah, that's $96,000 worth of diamonds in one shot.
I'll get it.
Really?
I get it if I had $95,000 because that's not a lot for a straight diamond ring. That's a nice
sure not now with inflation. Not for this many diamonds.
Listen, there will be a woman that I meet in life one day, and I'm gonna buy her this ring.
You hear that, ladies? He's single.
Yeah, so you know.
All right, let's move on. We have one last topic left. Thanks so much again, those of you at home watching this live on YouTube or on Instagram live at Weekend Showcase. We have one topic left to go, and it's a creepy one, apparently, judging by this particular image here. So, world's scariest clowns and the reason why people are terrified of them revealed. Okay, so love them or hate them, some people just can't bear the sight of clowns. The painted smile, strange costume, and even the big feet can put people off, while some even have a real and recognized fear of the party entertainment icon. And I'm sure Pennywise didn't help either. Part of the reason behind why people are so scared of clowns, maybe their use in popular culture, perhaps most famously the Joker in the Batman series, dons a painted clown face. Clowns have also fronted some of the best grossing films ever made. And then they talk about the 2017 It remake. And there's also a sequel, Chapter 2. Remember It Chapter 2 back in 2019? With all the kids as adults?
I didn't see the... Oh, yeah. That second, you're talking about the sequel to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some consider Pennywise to be the scariest of them all. His sharp teeth top a digital trends list of the evilest redheaded monster around, but there are other clowns considered equally terrifying.
Oh, I didn't see the original one.
Yeah, that's Pogo the Clown.
Oh, wow. That's like the original clown killer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
pretty sure, yeah. Toby Hooper's 1982 film Poltergeist features an attack by a clown doll, widely considered one of the scariest horror movie scenes of all time. And reminded audiences visiting a haunted house to check under the bed once in a while. Yeah. Perhaps the scariest clown of all was a real-life serial killer by the name of John Wayne Gacy. Yep. Brutal rapist and murderer, blah, 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 blah. In 2016, a killer clown craze was eventually revealed to be far less of a problem than it actually was after people were reported to be dressing up as clowns with the intention of scaring members of the public. There's Bill. Bill Skarsgård, the actor who plays Pennywise in those movies. I didn't know this. Coulrophobia. C-O-U-L, as in like Phil Coulson from Marvel. It's spelled that same way with that same prefix, C-O-U-L. Coulrophobia is the official name given to the fear of clowns, and it isn't just scary movies that appear to be the root cause. Health experts Healthline say early traumatic experiences can cause a lifelong fear of the big-footed jokers, and, quote, our brain and body would be wired from that point on to flee any situation involving clowns, end quote. Okay, so, Kaiko, what's your opinion on clowns?
Listen, there's a circus. I'm gonna just say that. There's a circus that is ongoing in my life. We're going to just leave it at that. It's in my life.
And metaphorically?
Sure. And there's a whole bunch of clowns. They're funny. They crack me up. I love them. I've always loved clowns. It's not like they're my favorite thing, but
not one of his favorite things.
I appreciate clowns. Pennywise, a little creepy, dude.
You think?
I don't like Pennywise. I've never seen the first It, so he ain't look stupid in the first It. He looked scary in the first It. You know, we've seen.
Are you talking about the 1991, the Tim Curry version?
Yeah. So, I'm not afraid of clowns. Listen, that time when people were dressing up as clowns and just standing at people's houses at night. Like, no, boy, if somebody dressed as a clown just standing there with like some weapon in their hand, standing in front of my house at 2 o'clock.
Or a balloon.
I'm a poppy, you know what I'm saying? With something. Like you're not gonna just stand there. Why are you at my house?
Oh yeah, pop the balloon. Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. Cause
all right, so let's go ahead and wind this down. I don't have a coulrophobia. I don't know anybody who does, but
I know somebody who, I don't know if they have the phobia, but I know they're afraid of clowns.
Ms. Deeps on YouTube says clowns are supposed to be happy and friendly. A few demon clowns give them a bad rep. I used to like clowns, past tense.
I mean,
yeah.
I have a clown costume that a clown gave me. He used to work at a, he used to be like a, I don't know if he was a famous clown, but he was like, you know, he was well known to be a clown in the circus industry, but I don't know if he was like a famous guy or whatever, but I met him. He gave me his clown costume. He said, I can't do it anymore. I said, so what, you want me to do it now?
This person just randomly chose a successor.
What? No, no. We were, you know.
It was
we were
calling to you, young Kaiser.
Right. No, we were establishing.
Carry my legacy forward.
We were establishing a friendship, and this guy said, I would like to pass down what I have to you. I said, boy, you ain't got no kids. Why are you giving it to me? Why you want me to be a clown? What? I look funny to you. That's what I said. Then you look. So I have it, but needless to say, I have the suit still, and you know.
Wow,
I still
have that thing.
I have it. I wouldn't. I don't want to wear it. I don't trust it, but I have it.
Oh, what do you think? You think the clown costume is haunted as those Garfield bones in France?
Clowns are not very clean people. I don't know what this guy was doing when he was a clown. You know,
that seems a little antagonistic to say, man. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Listen, yeah, man. Listen, clown. Because let me tell you something. Some clowns, right? A lot of clowns, they have gigs every single day, and so they don't change. They just stay in a clown o'clock. They be the clown all week.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to reiterate that the thoughts and opinions expressed herein do not necessarily reflect that of Weekend Showcase.
No, this isn't an opinion. This is what they be doing. I have my own opinion, but.
And that wraps up Kaiko's final appearance on Weekend Showcase. No, I'm kidding. But yeah. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's move on and try to wrap this up. We're a little bit over time anyway, as it is. But let's go ahead and wrap this up here. What would you say is your what's your favorite story of the night that we talked about here?
Well, I really hated the can thing. Like not the
the records, not, like, the can thing.
I hated the fact that became a world record, and on the fact that it was only 10. It was 10. Why can't somebody else beat that record easily? There has to be a reason why somebody couldn't put more than 10 cans on their face. That way, it just don't add
probably
up.
Head size. They need to be like, they need the right head size to provide enough sort of canvas space, for lack of a better way to put it. They need to have that exact skin condition.
Right.
Right? Which we already, which is so rare, they don't even have a name for it, according to the story. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any sort of like there necessarily.
But hey, go to the, I like the ring. I mean, I don't know if that was my favorite topic, but I really like that ring. This ring is going to be in my possession one day.
Okay.
Or in a woman that is affiliated with me's possession.
Well, personally, I'll go to the Skittles topic as my favorite one of the week, not because it's good news, obviously it's not, but just from a public service announcement, from a public health announcement perspective.
Right.
I haven't had Skittles, I'm trying to think, since probably my teen years, but I have tried them before. I don't miss them, but holy crap, that blew my mind to read that just now.
Right.
Good grief. But anyway, all of the topics that we've discussed tonight are resourced in the description down below. That's basically all that we've got to. Oh, we've got an LOL from Ms. D. Thanks. anyway, so that's basically all the topics that we have for tonight's show. What about you? What were your favorite news topics that we covered tonight? Feel free to drop a comment down below to continue the convo and visit any. Continue the convo. I'm working on it. Drop a comment down below. Continue the convo. I don't know. Anyway, visit any of our social pages. We're at Weekend Showcase pretty much everywhere. And we will see you right here this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific for another brand new trailer reaction show. We hope to see you then. For now, stay tuned to your podcast platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to be releasing a special spoiler laden, so there's lots of spoilers, podcast review of the new film Thor: Love and Thunder, which is in theaters now. Make sure you've seen the movie before you listen to this podcast. There are spoilers everywhere. Final warning, it's going to be posted out within the next hour, if not less, by the time this thing actually ends, this live stream ends, which is going to be momentarily. So that's basically about it. I'm Don. With me tonight was...
I'm Kaiko, aka Mr. Peter Parker.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Peter. And thank you at home for joining again. Be safe, and I hope you had a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.
Let's get it. All right.